bring you greetings in Jesus' name. I count it a privilege to share with you in your Love Feast weekend. At times in our lives, we may find ourselves in unpleasant situations, such as Joel Tanis found himself in. He was stuck in a long line of traffic at the U.S.-Canadian border, and things were not moving along, and so he reached for what he thought would be a solution. He reached for bottles of bubbles, and he handed out bubbles, and everybody was blowing bubbles, and it eased the tension, and soon there was bubbles everywhere, and it's just amazing what the bubbles did. The line didn't move any faster, but everybody was suddenly happy. A British statesman, John Lubbock, said, "What we see depends mainly on what we look for." Paul, he encouraged the Christians at Corinth when they were going through trials. He said, "Do not look at the things which are seen, but look at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal." What are the things that are unseen and eternal that we can look at? God's character is a good place to start. It's a good place for us to focus. He's good. He's just. He's forgiving. He's faithful. When we think about the greatness of God, as we saw in Psalm 139, the first part of that chapter starts out and it talks about a God who knows everything. He's omniscient. He's just all-knowing. Those are, it's not omniscient, it's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. Those are some big words. They're hard for us to grasp. He knows everything about everyone. It means that he knows it all. Let me back up and make sure I have that right. Omnipotent is all-powerful. Omniscient is all-knowing. Tonight, though, I want to focus on omnipresent. He is everywhere. Let me make sure you have that right, since I had it messed up myself. He's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. He's omniscient, which means he knows everything. But tonight, we want to look at, which is what it talks about in Psalm 139, starting at verse 7. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. But you know, it's not that God is present everywhere, but he is. His presence is altogether holy. His presence is holy. When we think about this, the greatness of God and God's holy presence. Quoting Bill Bright, he says, "Of all God's attributes, nothing compares to the splendor and the beauty of his holiness. It's chief among his attributes." That means his character is perfect in every way. He's totally pure. Psalm 99 verse 9 says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." There's a few verses I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5. And in this portion of scripture, God allowed Isaiah to peek into his heavenly throne room and just get a glimpse of what his holiness was like. Just listen to a few of these verses. It says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of his hosts." Isaiah had a heavenly vision. He had gone to the temple, and there he saw the Lord God seated upon his throne, and seraphims describe him as holy. But not just holy. If we were writing this today, we would write holy and we'd put an exclamation mark behind it. But they didn't have that punctuation. And so instead, to emphasize it, they repeated it. And we see there that it didn't repeat it just twice, but three times to really emphasize the holiness of God. He is holy, holy, holy. You know, if we could just get a glimpse or a grip on the holiness of God, how would that change our lives? You know, how no matter how good we may try to be, we cannot rise up to be holy like God is. There is no one holy like Him. And so, no matter how good we may try to be, we cannot expect God to allow us into His heaven when we have sin stains in our lives. If He allowed just one sin into heaven, it would mar His pure dwelling place and it would cease to be a holy city. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ can we be washed white, whiter and purer than snow, so that we can be holy as God is. If I had up front here a bottle of, or a cup here I have of pure, crystal clear water, nobody here would hesitate to take a drink of it. But if I added just a little bit of mud to it and stirred it up, nobody would want to drink it. And just a little mud would spoil that pure water. In the same way, God is so holy and so pure. He's holy, holy, holy. He is like pure crystal clear water, and He cannot tolerate even the smallest sin in our lives, not even a little white lie. There are areas in our lives that we need to submit to God's holiness, because we can, if we were completely confident that God is holy and that He has the power to give us to become holy, how different would our lives look? We could overcome addictions and hopelessness and jealousy and critical attitudes and bad habits and temptations and bitterness and all the things that go along. When we begin to see the holiness of God and how perfectly holy He is, and when we begin to absorb His holiness into our very beings, into our own lives, we become more sensitive to sin and we learn to hate sin and we want to have a more intimate, joyful relationship with Him. We sing that song, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, only Thou art holy. There is none beside Thee, perfect in power, in love and purity." Going back to these verses from Isaiah, which I read, it says that the train of His robe filled the temple. Just imagine if the hem of our God's robe fills the temple, just the hem of His robe. We want to think tonight, as an introduction, I used those verses from Isaiah about His holiness. Think about if just the hem of His robe, His holiness, filled the temple. Just think about His presence, which fills the whole universe. After this, the foundations of the thresholds trembled and the temple was filled with smoke. I believe maybe the smoke shielded Isaiah from a view of God that no man or woman could see and live. So just hold on to this thought that God is holy and realize now that His presence, His holy presence, is everywhere. We serve an omnipresent God. The story is told of a professor, and he wanted to have some fun with a small boy, and as that boy was reading a Sunday school paper, he said to him, "Tell me, my good boy, where God is, and I will give you an apple." But the boy, he quickly looked up at the man and replied, "I'll give you a whole barrel of apples if you tell me where God is not." God is everywhere. There's a song that we sing at White Oak, and it just reminds us of God's presence everywhere, even in our lives. We sing, "I believe in God, even though I can't see Him. Even when He is silent, I know He is there. I believe in God, and I know He is with me, will be with me till I enter my home." Even when we can't see God, He's there. He's everywhere. David in our text, Psalm 139, which our brother read for us this evening, verses 7 through 12. The first portion of that chapter tells us about God knowing everything, his omniscience. But then he goes on and verses 7 through 12 just make it so clear to us that the presence of God is everywhere. We cannot hide ourselves from the all-seeing eye of the Lord. No matter where you go, you cannot get away from God. David asks two kind of rhetorical questions there in this chapter. Because I think he already knew that escaping from God is impossible. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? David's just kind of musing. He's kind of wondering if the farthest boundaries that he knew, if they would be far enough to get away from God. And David wondered if he ascended anywhere up into the heavens, anywhere into the vast sky, if he could escape from God. And then he says, no, God, you are there. You know, even on the moon is not out of the presence of God. Could he escape to hell or to the underground region or to the grave or anywhere under the earth? David wonders. No, God, you are there as well. David then pictures himself, gives us some beautiful word pictures. He pictures himself taking a swift flight to some remote region, some beautiful dawn. He's flying swiftly across the entire sky on wings, or he's living on the far side of the sea, or what he would know as the Mediterranean Sea, and knows that God is there as well. David kind of is sitting there wondering and pondering these things, and then David's attitude just shifts. It makes a change. And instead of trying to get away from God, instead of trying to find a place where God isn't, but David begins to, rather than trying to escape the presence of God, he begins to be comforted by the thought that wherever he might go, God is there. David begins to realize, you know what? This is beautiful. No matter where I go in my life, God, you are there. You know, as children of this great, of this awesome God, rather than seeing God as a great traffic cop in the sky, watching over our every move, it's much more comforting to think that he loves us so much that he cannot take his eyes off of us. We're like the apple of his eye. Thank you, Lord, for just watching over me every day, everywhere. David paints a picture for us to visualize God's nearness. Wherever I might go, there will thy hand lead me, and the right hand shall hold me. What a tender image of God holding us in his hand, taking us by the hand, a right hand. And a right hand is one of skill and strength and authority, but yet on the other hand, it's one of love and tenderness. David is just feeling the closeness of God, God leading him by his right hand. David goes on to say that even darkness cannot hide us from the presence of God. In the eyes of God, the creator of this universe, light and darkness are the same. There's no difference. There's no darkness of night that is so dark that the presence of God cannot pierce it or permeate it. He's there. David continues on to tell us in these verses from the time we were conceived in our mother's womb, we never get away from the presence of God. In this life, we can never flee from his presence. This Psalm 139, especially these verses here, are just a beautiful piece of scripture explaining to every one of us the omnipresence of God. And David reinforces that in the thought that because God is ever present, he is always with me. He tells us there that we are the result of God's marvelous workmanship. He designed each one of us. He made our bodies wonderfully complex, and he was present from the moment of conception, and he is present every moment we live, and he will be present even when we die, when we pass on from this life. You know, I could stop preaching right now. We could just go around this sanctuary this evening and each of us could give testimony of times in our lives when we could feel the nearness of God, when we were tenderly comforted by Him. But we would all have to admit here tonight that there are times in our lives that we didn't feel His presence quite as keenly. There are times when He's just so close, but there's other times when He doesn't feel quite as near. But there's a little sticker on the passenger side mirror of your car. Most cars have it. If you look at that little sticker there on the passenger side mirror, it says that objects in this mirror are closer than they appear. And that's exactly how it is with God when we don't feel His closeness as close as we do at other times. He is closer than He may appear. He is always right there. Whether we feel His nearness and closeness, whether we feel it or not, He is just as close in those times as when we can almost reach out and touch Him. No matter what our feelings tell us, God is present. He is near. Even when we don't feel His nearness, He is just as near every moment. There's a song that we hear sung. It says, He is God of the mountains, and He is also God of the valleys. I'm thankful for the comfort of God's nearness. But, you know, too often we preach His imminence and His closeness, and we exclude His awesome transcendence or preeminence. Then all we end up with this little tiny God who might be imminent or close, but without power. But we have to put those two truths side by side, like two towers, which they can never be toppled. God is both imminent and transcendent. He's ominous and near. He's out of this world, and yet He's just as close as our next breath. That's the God who David's talking about here. That's the characteristics of God that just bring us joy to serve a God who is above and beyond anything else, anyone else. You know, we like to multitask. We like to do, we're doing two or three things. We got something running through our mind, and we're doing this and thinking that and going places, and we feel like we're covering a lot of ground. You know, we might have a conversation and be reading the paper and doing something else and thinking about this. And after a while, we realize we're not getting anything done. We think we're going places in a hurry, but we realize we're not covering as much as we think we are. But our God, this God I'm talking about, He is the best at multitasking. There is no one who can multitask the way He does. He can be everywhere all at the same time. He can be listening in on every conversation. He is meeting needs simultaneously all over this world, all at the same time. He is so big He can handle it all. There's nothing He can't handle. Can you think of anything around us that is with us most all the time? I can think of a few things, a few examples that can maybe help us get a little bit of a grasp of God's nearness and His always presence. Air is all around us. If we turn on a fan, we can feel the air, and we turn off the fan and the air stops, but that air is still just as much all around us. There's another one. Gravity is all around us. Doesn't matter what we hold up and drop, it automatically drops to the floor. Gravity is always around us, even when we can't even see it. We can see the effects of it, but it's just as close. It keeps us from floating off. It's always there. Another thing, if you light a candle outside on a sunny day, and you can't see the light, but that candle is giving off light just the same. All around us. As we see it on a dark day, we can see the light. But on a sunny day, we can't see the light, but that light is still there. These just simple illustrations of earthly things can just help us understand a little bit the nearness of God, even though we can't see it He is just as close as air or gravity or light. His presence is constant. His presence does not come and go. It's always there. It's always everywhere. God is not limited by a body, but is a spirit, and he moves wherever he wishes. There's some facts that we can be sure about an ever-present God. These things bring us great joy and comfort. I can't take the time to read all the verses that back up these facts, but number one, God can always hear us. When we're praying, God can always hear us. All creation is dependent upon his presence. We move and have our being in him. Other verses say that God is everywhere. Backs up the verses here in Psalm 139. God's continual presence brings contentment. We find contentment in knowing that God's presence is always there. There's some others, though, another fact is that we cannot hide from God. At times, people have tried to hide from God. That will not happen. And there's another one yet. No task is too large or too difficult for him. This ever-present God can handle it all. There are so many examples of God's presence in Scripture. Some of these are would be called inspirational presence. When you think of Moses and the burning bush, God's presence was there. And Moses on Mount Sinai. And Joshua, when he was anointed by God to succeed Moses, it says there, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What a promise to Joshua there. God is going to be with him wherever he went. Think of Daniel. Just think about God's presence there in the den of lions. Think about Paul on the Damascus Road there in Acts and many more. And we too can sense God's presence at times a little more keenly. Maybe during our devotions or during a church service or at a revival or maybe this weekend at Love Feast, we will feel God's presence just a little more keenly. Maybe when we're going through a very disturbing situation or maybe when we're somewhere all alone with God, we may feel his presence like these did. For a period of time, about 2,000 years ago, the human race had the incarnate presence of God with them. God in the form of Jesus Christ, it says, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. During that time, God's presence was right here in bodily form on this earth, walking among the people. We now today have his indwelling presence, that of the Holy Spirit. That's another topic. Going back to the thought that one cannot hide from God, I just want to read a few verses from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah's intent was to flee God. His every desire was to get away from the presence of God. And he thought by getting on that ship and going to Tarshish that he would be able to accomplish that feat. He found out along the way that God's presence is everywhere. Even on the ship going to Tarshish, even in the storm, even in the belly of the whale, God's presence is there. We find comfort in the presence of God, and we do not need to be fearful when we're living a life of obedience, when we're living in obedience to his will for our lives. But when we blatantly disobey, as in the example of Jonah, he is just as present and he's seeking to bring us back to him. The story is told of a missionary to Africa, familiar to most of us, David Livingstone. And as he was preparing to leave on that first missionary trip, a, a group of his close friends. They had accompanied him to the pier to wish him bon voyage, and they prayed for his safety and from the many dangers in this yet unexplored land where he was going. And some men there that day tried to convince David Livingston to stay in England. But David read from Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, "Lo, I am with you always." And he said, these are the words of a gentleman. So let us be going. And they set sail for Africa. David Livingston knew that where he was going, into savage country, into uncharted territory, that God's presence was going to be with him. Did you ever stop to think that without God's omnipresence, everywhere present, our prayers would be ineffective? You know, when I'm at my house praying for a missionary across the waters, God is with me down on my knees while I'm praying. He's also with them halfway around the world. Whatever situation they might be, he is there with them. What a comforting thought. There are many other biblical illustrations concerning the holy presence of God. And I'd just like to close with Paul's message at Mars Hill. And I just want to read a few verses from Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, starting in verse 22. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.'" Paul wanted them to know at Mars Hill how close God was. In him we move and have our being. We live and move and have our being. And it says there that if they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far, he is close to every one of us. The passengers on a train were uneasy as they were speeding along in the dark through a stormy night. And the lightning was flashing, and black clouds were rolling, and the train was traveling fast, and the fear and the tension was among the passengers that night was evident. There was one little boy, and he was sitting all by himself, and he didn't even notice the storm or the speed of the train, and he was amusing himself there with a few small toys. And one of the passengers said to him, Sonny, he said, "I see you're alone on the train. Aren't you afraid to travel alone on such a stormy night like this?" And the little boy looked up with a smile and answered, and he said, "No, ma'am, I ain't afraid. My daddy's the engineer." That's how it is with each one of us. If the Lord is Lord of our lives, we do not have to be afraid. We do not have to walk this road alone. Remember how earlier in my message I said how God's presence is all around us and is similar to air and gravity and light. You know, when we're overwhelmed by too many things in life and we begin to feel suffocated, like we can't get enough of air, God's presence can give each one of us a breath of fresh air. That's how close he is. That candle represented the presence of light. And sometimes we might feel like we're in the dark and we're groping around and with no clear vision or answers. God's presence is light in our darkness. dropping something represented the presence of gravity. And sometimes our lives may feel ungrounded, like we're floating around on our own. God's presence can direct our paths. He can keep our feet on solid ground. You know, I wonder just how differently we might live our lives if we were more aware of God's holy presence all around us, all the time. There is a place, though, coming where God's presence will not be. Jesus' presence will not be there. And that place is outer darkness, where there will be gnashing of teeth and weeping. A place prepared for the devil and his angels, not prepared for humanity. But if we reject Jesus Christ, we will spend eternity there as well. A place where God's presence will not be. God's presence is all around us today, and if we're a child of God, we can feel His closeness, His nearness, His walking alongside of us is like David said, leading us by His right hand. May God bless each one of you.